We were zoicha to learn last week the Hakdama, the Torah that was placed at the beginning of Lukat HaMaran. The union of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kilo Sishokach, Mipi Zaro is the Isis Yoichai, and the significance of why that was put by Rabbi Nelson at the beginning of Lukut HaMaran, at the time of Rabbi Nachman's life, that it was put there a short time, a few months before he was Nifter, on the way to Uman, which we're going to read about. We're going to finish what we started reading last week, the photos that it sheets that you have, the English part that we were up to, saying where it says, after revealing this amazing teaching about Rashbi. So I hope you have that. If you don't have it, then just listen. It's much better to look at it inside. This is preparing for Lag BaOmer, but to understand the connection between Lag BaOmer and Rabbi Nachman, which is very, very important. So we learned that besides the remez, the hint in Kilos Yishakach Mipi Zaro, that through the Torah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that through the teachings of the Zohar HaKadosh, the Torah would never be forgotten. And Davka through Soidei HaTorah, through the secrets of Torah and the Zohar HaKadosh, as was in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, as was hinted at also, Ir v'Shmaya, Ir v'Kadosh, Min Shmaya Nochis, the name Shimon is alluded to in the Pasuk in Daniel, says that the holy wakeful one, the holy angel, the wakeful one, will descend from Shemayim in the book of Daniel to destroy Nebuchadnezzar. That was the dream. The Nevuah that Nebuchadnezzar will be cut down, that the side of evil will be destroyed, which we understand means that it's only through the koyach of the Zohar HaKadosh and Sisrei Torah, the secrets of Torah, Pnimius HaTorah, that the Jewish people will be able to overcome the tidal wave of disbelief, of atheism, of kfira, of evil that's going to enter into the world and seem to overtake the world before Mashiach comes. So we're reading the part in English. This is one of the few times that we'll do that, but I felt it's very important, and that in the introduction to the English translation, Lukut HaMaran, this part of the introduction, which explains to us Bechlal the whole inyan of Lukut HaMaran, who Rabbi Nachman was and how he saw himself, which is so crucial to our understanding. After revealing this amazing teaching about Rashbi and his father Yochai, Rabbi Nachman concluded. This is in the English page, it says 9 and 8. The whole Seidi here, going from English in order of the side from Hebrew to English, English is a little bit confusing. But I don't know, I think it's the part that says on a 3, I don't know which page this is. 3. On the left-hand side where it says, after revealing this amazing teaching about Rashbi and his father Yochai, Rabbi Nachman concluded. But now there is a Nachal Neveya Mekor Chachma. So after saying this Torah on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and how it's through the teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that the Jewish people are going to remain awake during these last days before Mashiach comes, Rabbi Nachman then added, which is not written, it's not printed in Lukut HaMaran, Rabbi Nachman added, but now there's a Nachal Neveya Mekor Chachma. Now there's a flowing brook, a wellspring of wisdom. That's the Pasuk in Mishlei. Nachal Neveya Mekor Chachma. So that even a holy one descended from heaven must also receive from this brook. That even the holy one, meaning Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the holy one who descended from heaven, now, in order for his teachings to be understood, in order for his Torah to be effective, it has to pass through, it must also receive from this brook. What's this? The Nachal? The Nachal Neveya Mekor Chachma, a flowing brook, a wellspring of wisdom. The Rebbe's reference to Nachal Neveya Mekor Chachma is an allusion to himself. When Rabbi Nachman added that, and he said, that now in order for us to be able to receive from the Holy One descended from heaven, which alludes to Shimon Bar Yochai, Ir v'kadosh min Shmaya Nochis, which the Oisi is Shimon, that Hashem has sent into the world a Holy One from heaven to keep the world awake, to keep Klai Yisrael awake, that's Rabbi Shimon. But in order for this to work, that one, Rabbi Shimon, has to be Makabel from some other mysterious person. And who is that? The one whose name is hinted at in the Pasuk, Nachal Nevei Mekar Chachma. A flowing brook, a wellspring of wisdom. Which of course is an allusion to Rabbi Nachman himself. After showing how the names of Rabbi Yochai and Rabbi Shimon are alluded to in scripture, in the Pasuk, Rabbi Nachman quotes a verse whose first letters spell Nachman. Nachal Neveya Mekor Chochma, of course, of the Oisius Nachman, the letters Nachman. To better understand Rabbi Nachman's last statement and its significance as part of the prologue to Lakuta Maran, consider the following anecdote. This is what happened. A Breslov Chosid once found himself alone in a distant city, not knowing anyone or having where to lodge for the night. He went to the house of the local rabbi, of the local Rav, a man known not only for his good name, but also for his Torah, erudition, and mastery of Kabbalah. Upon arriving, the Chosid noticed a copy of Lakuta Maran on the rabbi's table and asked his host where he got the book. "Do you know this book and its author?" The rabbi wondered. "I knew the author. I'm a Breslov Chosid." "Do you understand what's written in it?" the rabbi asked. "To the best of my ability," the Chosid answered. "In my opinion," the rabbi said, "nobody can truly grasp this work. Just look at the prologue. What place has this teaching as the opening piece to Lakuta Maran?" So this Rav asked the Chosid, "Who could understand Lakuta Maran? I don't even the Hakdama, the first page that we learned last week. What's this doing? What is this? What's this doing, Lakuta Maran?" So obviously this Chosid saw that this Rav was somebody special. And he said, the Chassid said, "You tell me," the Chassid replied. He said to the Rav, "No, what is it doing here?" It would appear, the rabbi suggested, that Rabbi Nachman is alluding to his having the same soul as Rabbi Shimon. That's very, very important. The Rabbi Nachman saw himself as having the neshama of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. For the name Shimon Ben Yochai has a numerical value. You go across now to the right side. So the name Shimon Ben Yochai has a numerical value of 501, the same as Nachman Ben Simcha. So Shimon Bar Yochai, Shimon Ben Yochai, is the gematria of Nachman Ben Simcha. It's the same gematria as Rabbi Nachman's name. Shimon Ben Yochai and Nachman Ben Simcha is the same exact gematria. That's a hafadik thing. That's an amazing thing. The rabbi's explanation is a powerful statement in its own right. And equally telling are the different parallels that can be drawn between the lives of these two great tzaddikim. When Rabbi Nachman passed away some 5 months after revealing this teaching, he was only 38 and a half. Despite his relatively few years, he had been teacher and rebbe to accomplished Torah scholars, men of piety, some of whom were many years his senior. Opposition notwithstanding, the rebbe was recognized as one of the leading elders of his time. The parallel to Rabbi Shimon is obvious. He was only a young disciple when he gave his assurance that the Torah would not be forgotten. He was sitting amongst all the Gedolei Hador, the leading Talmid Chachamim Tzaddikim of the generation who said, "I see the Torah shel tishtakech Yisrael, the Torah is going to be forgotten, there's no hope. How do we keep, there's no way to keep the Torah going." And Rabbi Shimon, who was the youngest there, said, "Ki lois yishakach mi pizaro," which of course was him, through him. The promise of the Torah in Parshas Ha'azinu, "Ki lois yishakach mi pizaro," would be fulfilled. His prominence as one of Rabbi Akiva's exceptional students was well acknowledged, so much so that in his case it was not considered unbefitting for one so young to take issue with the accepted position of sages many years his senior. Rabbi Nachman lived at the beginning of the 19th century, a time when a tidal wave of atheism flooded the world. We can't understand what it was like then. The changes that those who are over 40, 50 years old hear, the changes of people who are over 60, 70 years old that they've seen in their lifetimes, those who were in Europe before the Milchama and are now here and know of these changes can't imagine what was going on at that time, at the beginning of the 19th century in Europe, when the Haskalah, when that movement known as the Haskalah, as the Enlightenment, began to take hold of Jewish communities throughout Europe. And it was spreading very quickly from Western Europe to Eastern Europe. A tidal wave of atheism flooded the world, of abandoning the old ways, of leaving Yiddishkeit. For the Jews living in Eastern Europe, this was manifested by the inroads made by the Haskalah movement against traditional Torah Judaism. The heretical ideas preached by those who saw the need for Jews to expand their horizons and adjust to the changing world around them threatened the very core of Jewish belief. Rabbi Nachman recognized this and foresaw the massive assimilation and flight from Torah that would result from the Haskalah's so-called enlightenment. Rabbi Nachman lived at that time when things were just starting to get really bad. Rabbi Nachman's time. And he saw what was happening. He foresaw the massive assimilation and flight from Torah to the point that now only a tiny percentage of the Jewish people are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. A small percentage. And of the ones who are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, only a small percentage of those are clinging to the Shulchan Aruch properly and with all of their hearts and souls. Whereas in the time of our ancestors, those who are from Europe, of course, in Maladabrik, I'm not talking about Sfardim, where it was until this time. But in Eastern Europe, most of us here are Ashkenazim, there was hardly a Jew who wasn't Shomer Mitzvahs in the world. A Chlal. In many ways, it was a time very similar to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's generation of Shmad. That time of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was called the time of Shmad. Shmad also, there was religious persecution and tremendous assimilation. Then too, the planned Romanization of the Jewish people was to promote massive assimilation and an uprooting of the Torah. When Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai proclaimed that the Torah would not be forgotten because of the offspring of Yochai, he was in fact saying that he and his teaching, the Holy Zohar, would guarantee the Jewish people survival in exile. If anything, guaranteeing the Jewish people's survival in exile was the Rebbe's mission as well. Rabbi Nachman saw himself, and he saw in himself the neshama of Rabbi Shimon. It's important to understand this. And he saw that through his way of explaining the teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that the Jews would be able to hold on, and they would remain at least a core of Jews faithful to Yiddishkeit, who would be able to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu. And there would be a revival of Torah mitzvahs of Yiddishkeit to prepare for coming of Mashiach. He saw all of that, Rabbi Nachman. Just like Rabbi Shimon. His concluding words here indicate that he and his teaching, Lugut HaMaran, are a response, a tikkun, a rectification to the tidal wave of secularization that has engulfed the Jewish people ever since his time. Even those places, and this is something that Tzaddikim spoke about, it's not something which is popularly discussed, and it's certainly not something which in non-Hasidic circles is appreciated. But the Tzaddikim spoke very openly about this. Even those places where they had great Talmidei Chachamim and great yeshivas of Nigla, where they were learning Gemara on a very high level, those places where the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his teachings were rejected were totally lost, kimat, totally lost to Yiddishkeit. Those places where the Baal Shem HaKadosh and the Talmidei Baal Shem, where their teachings were spread and where their teachings were strong, there was a survival of Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit would survive. Even Bechazdei Hashem, some of the great Rishi Yeshivas, some Rishi Yeshivas survived from Lithuania. And Mechazdei Hashem were able to come to Israel and to America, that they survived the war with Nisim and the Flois. The vast majority of the Talmidim who would survive the war as Jews whose parents were still observant of mitzvahs and wanted them to go to yeshiva were not from Lithuanian descendants. They were from those Jews who were Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Kiyadua, as is known. And that's not something which can be explained unless we realize that the mission of Rabbi Nachman and his colleagues, the other tzaddikim, to infuse Klai Yisrael with Pnimius HaTorah, with the Rishimon Bar Yochai's Torah, which has on it the mark of Ki Lo Yishkach Mipi Zaro, that it will never be forgotten, that the Torah will never be forgotten. And Rabbi Nachman saw himself as being the manifestation of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who would have the main responsibility in his eyes to keep the entire Yiddishkeit alive, which can only take place through Pnimius HaTorah, which we see now as well. Just as there was an Irv HaKadosh Min Shmaya Nochis, just as in the time of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai there was an angel, a holy wakeful one, who was sent from Shemaim into that generation of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the time of Shmad, so Rabbi Nachman was sent. There is now a Nachal Naveh Mekar Chachma, a brook, a wellspring, from which to draw the wisdom and guidance that will ultimately lead to the Jewish people's redemption. Incidentally, this mission of leadership which Rabbi Nachman and Rashbi had in common is alluded to by the shared numerical value of the names 501, which is also the numerical value of the Hebrew word Rosh, head or leader. Although Rabbi Shimon's greatness is unfathomable, we do know that all of the leading sages of the Talmud, of all the leading sages of the Gemara, he alone was given permission to reveal the mysteries of Torah. As indicated by the passage from the Zohar quoted above, the hidden Torah has the power to elevate the Jews who have assimilated. And that's why the last avoid of Rabbi Nachman in this world, Rabbi Nachman spent the last period of time in his life mostly talking to maskilim, leaders of the Enlightenment. Mostly talking to leaders of the Enlightenment, talking to them about Emunah. The Zohar says that it's only through the hidden Torah will Jews who are assimilated, Jews who we thought were lost to Klai, so only through the hidden Torah can they be brought back. Cleanse them of the influences of the mixed multitude of the Erev Rav and bring them back to Torah and purity. This power of tshuva is drawn from the sphere of Bina. Bina, of course, is the koyach of tshuva and can penetrate the heart and mind of every Jew. Bina in particular, which is connected to Sisrei Torah, to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to the deeper teachings of Torah, is the same koch of Lavavo Yavin Vishav Virafalai, that the heart will understand. Yavin means Bina. Bina is Tshuva. Virafalai means that there can be a refuah for the Jewish heart that was poisoned by the impurity of secularization. That Jewish heart that's poisoned by atheism and so on cannot be healed without Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, without Pnimius HaTorah. It can penetrate the heart and mind of every Jew to arouse his inherent faith. It's through Pnimius HaTorah that the inherent faith of a Jew can be awakened. Pnimius HaTorah speaks to the part of a Jew that never fell asleep, that's never fallen asleep. Thus, Rabbi Shimon, the master of hidden Torah, is most closely identified with Bina and repentance. In describing himself as the Nachal Nevei Mekar Chachma, when Rabbi Nachman described himself as the Nachal Nevei Mekar Chachma, Rabbi Nachman too was identifying with the qualities of hidden Torah, Bina, of Tshuva. Kabbalah teaches that the sphere of Chachma refers to the water source. Chachma is where it begins. That sphere of Chachma is the source of the water. Koachma, that comes from a place that we can't even understand. Whereas the brook that flows out of Chachma, that's Bina. Whereas the brook corresponds to the sphere of Bina. Rabbi Nachman saw himself as the Nachal Noveh Mekor Chachma, the flowing brook, meaning the power of tshuva that flows from the highest sphere, which is Chachma. By stating, but now there is a flowing brook a wellspring of wisdom. Nachal Neveya Mekar Chachma. So that even a holy one descended from heaven, that even Rabbi Shimon, whose name is hinted at in the words, Ir v'kadosh mitshmaya nochis, must also receive from this brook. Go to the next, on page 4, I guess it's called, on the left side. The Rebbe indicates that presently the aim of Rabbi Shimon's teachings can only be achieved when they receive from the brook, the Rebbe's teachings. Rabbi Nachman saw himself, and he never hid this, as the truly authentic, not to discredit any of his colleagues, he saw his chaverim, the Baal Tanya, Rabbi Nachman, the Baal Tanya, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditshev, and all the other tzaddikim as being tzaddikim kedoshe elyon. But he saw himself as being the brook through which Rabbi Shimon's, the main source through which Rabbi Shimon's Torah will be able to enter into the world, and doing so to preserve Yiddishkeit that was going to be challenged by assimilation, by the Enlightenment, by reform, and in our times by all of the four Golias, the four exiles that have joined together in what we now have, the fight against Torah mitzvahs. The Rebbe indicates that presently the aim of Rabbi Shimon's teachings can only be achieved when they receive from the brook the Rebbe's teachings. The lessons in Rabbi Nachman's Likutei Moran are taken from this very source of the very source of the water of Chachma, which he spoke about often. And it is specifically these teachings which are needed in order to penetrate to the lowest of levels, instilling faith and desire for tshuva, even those most distant from God. Only that flowing brook can flow all the way down, 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 down to the lowest person, the lowest Jew in the world, to revive that person. As explained, this was precisely the Rashbi's, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's stated goal, to ensure that the Torah would not be forgotten, to ensure Jewish survival in exile. But now, as a result of Romanization and secularization, all of history is Asians in between. There are many Jews for whom Rabbi Shimon's teachings are beyond their grasp. We would not be able to understand. The average Jew could not have a Shaychus Bechlal anymore to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's Torah. We wouldn't understand the Zohar Kaddish, for whom the light of the hidden Torah which he revealed is too bright. Hence the need for what is essentially an extension of the rectification begun by the Ir V'Kadosh Mishmaya Nochis, the teachings of Nachal Neveya Mekor Chachma. That's how Rabbi Nachman saw himself. And we have to know that. Whatever we learn from Rabbi Nachman, that's how he saw himself. That's why it's getting stronger and stronger and brighter before Mashiach comes. Thus, Breslov Chassidim are wont to quote the passage, because of this work, the book of the Zohar, as it says in the Zohar, and say, because of this work, Likutei Moran, which is the Zohar, we will be redeemed from exile. For Nachman ben Simcha has the same numerical value as Shimon ben Yochai. It should now be clear why Rabbi Nachman gave this lesson at the time he traveled from Breslov to Uman. As mentioned, the Rebbe saw his being called to Uman as a sign that he was soon to die. He was by no means shocked or unprepared for this. On the contrary, as Rav Nosson writes, his whole purpose in choosing Uman as his place to die and be buried was to accomplish the rectification of innumerable souls, which had been in need of this for several hundred years, for Uman had been the scene of the slaughter of countless souls. And on the day before he died, he said to me, Rabbi Nachman said to Rav Nosson, for a long time now, they've had their eye on me to get me here. There are not just thousands of souls here, but myriads upon myriads. Souls which did not know me at all are awaiting the tikkun I can give them. In fact, the rectification of souls, not only for the dead, but also for the living, had been foremost in Rabbi Nachman's thoughts ever since his return from Lemberg nearly 2 years earlier. In his own words, he had journeyed there, among other reasons, to combat the spread of heresy. Lemberg, Lvov, the largest city in eastern Galicia, had for centuries been a major center of Torah erudition. During the late 1700s and early 1800s, the Haskalah had found a foothold amongst the roughly 30,000 Jewish residents. The Rebbe saw it his mission to combat this then and for the future. It is therefore not coincidental that while in Lemberg, Rabbi Nachman instructed two of his followers to reveal some of his teachings, which had hitherto been kept from the public eye, as well as initiated the first printing of Likutei Moran, Davka while in Lemberg. His intention in this regard became even clearer after his return, from which time he repeatedly stressed how his teachings would endure for future generations. As explained above, Rabbi Nachman saw his Likutei Moran as a response, a tikkun for the tidal wave of heresy and secularization that has engulfed the Jewish people ever since his time. So now, as Rabbi Nachman and those accompanying him were on their way to Uman, The Rebbe's thoughts must have been on the rectification of souls when he said, still God helps the Jewish people at all times. There is no orphaned generation. This is what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai answered, and then he taught this lesson that we learned last week. The Torah will never be forgotten through Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. On that same journey, Rabbi Nachman spoke to Reb Nosson about how God is constantly bringing things to their completion and rectification. Reb Nosson writes, to explain all this would take pages and pages. Briefly, the Rebbe had thought originally, when we first became close to him, that he would accomplish the tikkun immediately, and many of the things he said indicated this. But later on, because of our many sins, the sins of the generation, and the tremendous determination of the Satan which led to all the opposition against the Rebbe, everything was upset, and he was unable to accomplish what he wanted in his lifetime. Yet, he still said that he had accomplished and would accomplish. Rabbi Nachman said that he wasn't finished. He accomplished a great deal, and he would continue to accomplish. For after his return from Lemberg, he found a path and spoke in such a way as to ensure that his light would never ever be extinguished. The Rebbe himself said, "Mein fire will venshine tlund bis Mashiach wird kommen. My fire will burn until Mashiach comes." It doesn't, not just that it will burn, but it will burn stronger and brighter until Mashiach comes. That was what Rabbi Nachman said before he died. We now understand the connection between Lag BaOmer and Rabbi Nachman as well. And therefore, it would be a wonderful thing if on Lag BaOmer, wherever that hadlaka happens to be, and there's a candle, or you're zoicha to be by a fire, that you should also have in mind all the tzaddikim who spread the teachings of Pnimius HaTorah, all the tzaddikim, Levilna Goyen, Chsam Seifer, all the tzaddikim who were Megala Pnimius HaTorah and explained Rabbi Shimon's Torahs, and to have in mind that Jew, Nachman ben Simcha, whose neshama was bound with the neshama of Shimon ben Yochai, that through him the fire of Kilois HaShakach mi Pizarro will burn until Mashiach comes. We should be zeichah Bez Hashem to be warmed by that fire. Hopefully some of the chevra will be able to come like Ba'omer. We'll try to receive a little bit from that fire. That will be Mitzvah Hashem. Thursday night, we'll have Marv at 9 o'clock downstairs, and then we'll have the Hilula in the basement. And then we're not sure, it has to be arranged with the authorities in the neighborhood. We would like to have a hadlaka in the parking lot to make a fire and to do rikudim, if it's possible. Hashem Yisbarach should help. But even if we can't make a fire outside, we have to for sure make a fire inside.